You guys know Daniel and Cindy, right? Some of you know who Daniel and Cindy are, the Dillingers. Daniel has played electric for us a few times on Sundays. Cindy, up until pretty recently, was extremely pregnant. And she was very pregnant, and now she's not. She had the baby a couple weeks ago. Little Gabriel, who, by the way, Gabriel had a Facebook before he was born. His mom and dad made him a Facebook while he was still in the womb, which is interesting. I'm Facebook friends with Gabe, like with Gabe. I am too. So, but how many of you guys would have liked to have seen video of Gabe being born? That's weird, right? That's weird, right? Like, we've seen Gabe. He was here last Wednesday night. That's cool. Okay? But that is something that we don't like to talk about, right? Like, nobody wants to particularly see that. You know, I would agree with that. I don't either. And there are certain things in the church that are messy like that that we don't talk about in church. Okay? That's kind of been the whole point of this series that we've been going through here, this elephants in the room, things that we don't often talk about in church. And on Sunday night, we were going through Romans, and we kind of talked about how people put on the right facade. They put on the right clothes, and, you know, they say the right things. And so we as Christians can hide a lot of messy stuff in our lives by putting on the right face and by behaving the right way at church, right? You guys know that. So tonight we're going to talk about one of those things, because there are some Christians who are way more messed up than some non-Christians, you know. We put on the right face at church, but the fact is there are some Christians who've got a lot more going on inside that we don't talk about. Now, America is the richest country in the world, and it's also the most depressed country in the world. The amount of antidepressant drugs, you guys see the commercials, right? And does anybody else think it's weird that one of the side effects of those drugs is always, like, suicidal thoughts? That's strange to me. I'm like, that doesn't seem very effective to me. And I don't mean to make fun, because it is something serious, but in America, we sell all kinds of depression medication. Now, how many of you guys, I'm going to ask a question. Can Christians get depressed? Yes. Okay, you guys all knew that answer. I was kind of hoping you'd say no so I could prove you wrong, but that's okay. We're going to go through these anyways. I'm going to give you guys some biblical examples of Bible characters, well-known Bible characters who got depressed. And I'm going to put up a quote that they said, and I want you to tell me if you can figure who it is. Wes, they're the first one up there. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin. This is somebody in the Bible talking to God. Anybody know who said that? Moses is actually correct. Good job. Okay. That's Numbers 11, okay? Moses is leading the people out of Egypt. They're complaining, they're whining, he's having problems, okay? And he says, God, if you just kill me. These people are too much of a pain. I cannot deal with them anymore. Okay, that's Moses. Go to the next one. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I know better than my ancestors. That one doesn't have any clues in it particularly, but I'll tell you this one. I've preached on this one before here. I've preached on this particular person very specifically here. May not help. I don't know. It's not Job, no. It's not Paul. It's not Joseph. No. This is Elijah, okay? And what's amazing about this is right after he calls fire down from heaven to burn up the altar. He does that. He has this great experience, you know, mountaintop experience, and all the prophets of Baal get killed, and he outruns Jezebel back to town, and then he goes out into the wilderness and begs to die, like right after a really good thing that happened in his life, okay? So that's interesting there. Here's another one. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. More depressing words here. This is an Old Testament prophet. I'll give you a clue. Okay, Old Testament prophet who went through some bad stuff. Starts with a J. It's not Job. Job wasn't a prophet. Job was just a dude. It is Jonah. This is actually after he's out of the whale. He goes and he sits on the beach, and God sends a plant to give him shade, and then the plant dies. God's trying to prove a point, okay? And Jonah says, all right, God, just kill me now. I'm tired of this. And then the last one here, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. This one's already been said like four times. It's New Testament. Job is Old Testament. Paul, this is the Apostle Paul. I know Tate was just throwing Paul out for all of them, so this is the Apostle Paul, okay? How many of you guys know Jeremiah's nickname? Jeremiah was an Old Testament prophet. He wrote He wrote, not a bullfrog. No, that's not his nickname. He wrote the book of Jeremiah. He also wrote a book called Lamentations, which I'm going to mention in just a second here. But anybody know what his nickname was? It wasn't Jay, whoever keeps saying Jay. Okay? No, that already got said and I already turned it down. Okay? It's not bullfrog. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. No, you didn't. How did you know that? Have you guys heard that song, He Is? Where it goes through all the books of the Bible? No? Wes knows it. I knew he knows it. Never mind. And that one, that's how I know it, because it says in Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Anyways, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. The book Lamentations. Anybody know what lamentations are? Have you heard the word lament? What does it mean to lament something? No, not like laminating. Okay, good. I'm going to teach you guys vocabulary. You can use this tomorrow. To lament is to complain about something. Okay? So you might say, he lamented his situations. Jeremiah wrote a whole book of complaints. It's called Lamentations. That's what the book is. The book is him crying out to God because there's such a hard time in Israel, okay? So we've got biblical examples of people being depressed. Now turn, if you will, to Daniel chapter 2. If you want to get your Bibles out, you're welcome to. I'm going to kind of sum up the story here. In Daniel chapter 1, the Israelites have been captured by Babylon. They've been pulled away from their hometown. And Daniel is a smart guy. He's in his 20s, I believe. And so in Daniel chapter 1, the king wants him to eat all these things. I want you to eat this. I want you to drink this wine. And he says, no, I'm going to be healthier my way. And so the king lets him, or his supervisor lets him do a test. And after a couple weeks or whatever it is, he's been eating only a certain thing that the Jewish regulations were, and he was healthier than all the other guys in his little group, okay? He was a smart guy, so he was in this group of wise men and young wise men from Israel. So he had come off kind of a rough chapter 1, and if you look here in chapter 2, the king has a dream, okay? King Nebuchadnezzar, you guys have heard that name. You might recognize it from the VeggieTales, the bunny. Okay, that's that king, Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, this is the same king as that guy, okay? So the king has a dream, and he doesn't know what it means. He has no idea what this means, and he calls together his high council, the guys who are closest to him, and he says, okay, guys, I need this dream interpreted. And they said, well, yeah, king, we'll interpret it. Just tell us what the dream was. And the king says, no, I'm not going to tell you what the dream. I want you to tell me the dream and the interpretation. And they're like, well, that's hard. We can't do that, you know? And so the king goes, and I tell you what, if you don't do that, I'm going to kill you all. I'm going to kill all of the council. I'm going to kill all the wise men. I'm going to kill my whole leadership team if somebody can't tell me this. And none of his highest council, his cabinet, none of them can tell him the answer. So he goes, all right, kill them all. He starts sending guys out. And they come to Daniel because Daniel, while Daniel wasn't even in the room, he was considered part of this wise man group. So he says, okay, we're going to kill you. I'm going to kill all of you guys. And the guy comes to Daniel in verse 13. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Okay, so there's a guy hunting Daniel down, trying to kill him. How many of you guys, that's a bad day? If there's a guy chasing after you to kill you, simply because of something that happened when you were not even in the room, you're going to get killed. That's a bad day, okay? Daniel had good reason to be depressed and to be sad here. Okay, we're going to kind of take a break here from the story. I'm going to come back to it in a minute. But I want to talk about some signs of depression, some warning signs of depression. You see, some of you and some of us might be headed for this even though we don't know it. You say, you know what, I've never been depressed a day in my life. Many of you guys are upbeat, I know you, and that's great. But there are some things that can lead to depression that we have to be on the lookout for, okay? So we're going to go through some warning signs of depression. Number one is an unrealistic pace. Okay, an unrealistic pace, and this is hard for me, okay? I've been right where you guys are. You got classes, you got extracurriculars, you got church, you got all these things that you've got to do. And this can cause problems in your spirit, okay? How many of you guys have seen Talladega Nights? Some of you have, many of you. Okay, this is the I want to go fast syndrome, right? You guys have ridden with me. You know I like to go fast, okay? I know we had that discussion about going up to camp and how I was way ahead of y'all's vehicle, and he was just trying to catch up with me. That was more my fault than his. But, okay, yeah, so that's where we were at. You know, I want to go fast. But here's the thing. How many of you guys who drive especially, you guys know your RPM meter? It's a little one. It's got colors on it, right? Some of you guys know. Some of you don't. That's okay. Well, what happens if you push the RPMs and you keep it up in the red all the time? It's bad, right? You're going to blow the engine. It's bad for the engine, okay? And that same thing happens with us. We cannot keep going at 110 miles an hour all the time, even if they're all good things. We cannot just continually push. We have to rest. We have to Sabbath. You know, I've heard people say, yeah, well, the devil never takes a day off. Have you guys heard that? You ever heard that? Like, oh, the devil doesn't take a day off. Why should I? You know what the perfect response to that is, right? I don't know that the devil should be my example. You know, God took a day off when he's creating people. So I'm going to make God my example and not the devil. So we have to have time. We have to give ourselves recharging time. Okay, here's a second warning sign of depression. That is an unrealistic expectation of others. This is when all of a sudden it's always somebody else's fault. Some of you, when you have little brothers and sisters, and this is especially a thing of us when we're younger. When we're young, we don't want to take responsibility for anything. I'm not pointing anybody out, okay? Don't be doing that. That's right, don't be looking at people. But we always want to blame somebody else. We never want to take responsibility for what happens to us. And this is the thing where it's like, you know, yeah, I'm in a bad mood, but it's because my boyfriend was mean to me, or my girlfriend was, you know, was in a mood, and I just can't deal with that. Or my parents were mean this morning, and man, I got in a fight with my mom and dad, or whatever it may be. Or man, all my teachers are jerks. Okay, all my teachers are jerks, and I want to say, well, what's the common denominator there, you know? But it's you. Yeah, thank you. Some of you got that. Okay, this is where everything is always somebody else's fault. Okay, here's the third one, and this is an unrealistic view on life. Okay, we call this denial. We call this denial, and this is where you're like, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine. I'm good. You know, and even though you might be feeling a little down, and it's okay for us to feel down. We don't have to be super peppy all the time. But this is where you just refuse to acknowledge what's actually happening in your life. Some of you have seen this, okay, where somebody is really, and you know, okay, you know, man, you know, they've had family tragedy, but they just pretend like nothing's wrong, okay? This is denial. This is an unrealistic view of life. And here's the fourth sign of depression, warning sign, is an unrealistic desire to be liked by everyone. How many of you guys like to be liked? It should be every hand, right? We all want to be liked, okay? Nobody wants to be disliked. But something you learn, especially as you get older, is that not everybody will like you. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, there's always going to be people who don't like you. And sometimes they don't even have a good reason. You just have to accept it. Okay, sometimes people aren't going to like you. And that's very difficult for us to accept sometimes, especially those of us that really, really try to be liked. But we have to be careful that we don't let that give us our value, okay? We can't let somebody else's opinion decide what our value is, okay? We have value in Christ. So those are four things that just to watch out for. Some of you are like, well, I've never been depressed, and that's fine. But these are things that you can be looking out for in your own life and in the lives of those around you to keep us out of this pit of depression. But luckily, Daniel here gives us some answers for how we can find this, okay? How to get out of depression. If you get there, and this message, by the way, comes from a message by Perry Noble. A lot of these points do, and it's incredible. And he talks about how, as a pastor of a growing church, he was a pastor of a multi-campus church with thousands of people in it in South Carolina. And during what everybody thought should have been the greatest time of his life, he's having suicidal thoughts. He's getting up on stage and he's preaching every Sunday and people are meeting Jesus, and he's going home at night and he's considering suicide. And it's an incredible message. If you're curious, I can point you towards it. But Perry Noble gives us three steps here. Number one is stop denying the problem. We talked about that just a second ago. Okay, we cannot deny that there's a problem, and that's what too many people do, especially in the church. We don't want to tell anybody. We don't want people to know we're going through a hard time, so we just pretend it doesn't exist. If we look to the story here, in Daniel 2:14 through 16, it says this. He says, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. So this guy comes and says, all right, Daniel, I'm going to kill you and your buddies because this happened. And he's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And he could have just gone into hiding. He could have said, nope, I refuse to believe that the king said that. But he didn't do that. How many of you guys, if you were driving along and or riding in a car and you heard this sound, you heard a pop and then a what is happening? By a ninja. You have a flat tire from probably just a nail, but could be a ninja. Right. And what happens if you keep driving on that? Right. And you're going to start sparking. Right. This is bad. Your rubber, you kill all the rubber, and then you keep going, and the metal starts hitting the road, and you start sparking. And this is a problem. We don't like our cars to spark. Okay? That's what happens when we deny things. If you were doing that, you'd stop. When I was, a couple months ago, I was up at camp working on some things one weekend, and me and Jeff Watson, who's the youth pastor at Lubbock First, and Todd Starnes, you guys know Todd, we're all heading back to camp. Actually, it was the day we had got the skate park. Okay, the skate park. We had gotten it that day. We'd spent all day out in the sun taking this thing apart in the metal. It was miserable. We were all sunburnt and just tired. And it was like 10 o'clock at night. We're driving back down those dirt roads to camp. And all of a sudden, we heard that sound, pop, and Todd went, no, my tire didn't go flat. Todd, like, denied it. He's like, no, it couldn't have gone flat. And I'm like, out here, yes, it could have. And it was flat, and we had to change it. But if he had kept driving to camp, who knows what would have happened, right? It would have been a problem. We cannot deny that the problem exists. Let's look at Daniel 2, 17 through 18. Let's move on here. Don't put the thing up yet, Wes, for me. It says, then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You know those guys as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So what did he do? What does he do there? He does pray, yes, but what did he do first? He went to what? His friends. Okay, he found other people that love God. And he said, all right, guys, this is a problem we're going to face together, so let's pray about this. You see, we cannot do life alone. That's the second one here. We cannot do life alone. And this doesn't mean coming to youth group or coming to church and talking about football and music in school, and that's it, okay? That's not Christian community. That's not sharing with each other, okay? That's surface level. That's shallow. That's not what I'm talking about. What we're talking about here is having people who you can get real with, who you can tell things to that are legitimate and deep sometimes and sometimes hurt to say, and you know they're not going to be taken with judgment and they're not going to be taken with a harsh tone, but they're going to be taken in love as Christians, okay? That's what we're talking about here, Christian community, having other people who love Jesus that we can go to for support in these type of things. Even Jesus needed this. Right before Jesus died, the night before he died, he went to Gethsemane to pray, okay? You guys know this story probably. What did he go alone or who did he bring with him? Not all 12 of them, but who are the big three? Who are the like three main disciples? Paul wasn't a disciple. Paul's later. He's an apostle. Peter's right. That's Peter. Simon Peter. That's the same guy. No. Peter something and something in the sailboat. Anybody remember that song? Nigel? Nigel is not one of the disciples. James is one of them, and John the Beloved. Yes, Peter, James, and John. He says, hey, you guys are my three closest earthly friends. You guys are the ones that I share everything with. Come with me and let's pray. Now, granted, they're not very good at it because they fall asleep while he's praying. But the point is still there. Even Jesus needed this, and he kept coming back to me and going, guys, why are you asleep? I need you to pray with me. You see, even Jesus needed other people around him to help lift him up. You guys have heard the story about Moses, and they were in a battle, and as long as Moses' hands were in the air, the Israelites were winning the battle, but if he dropped his hands, they would start losing. What happened eventually? Anybody know? No. Right, he sat down on a stone, and two people held his arms up. Aaron, his brother Aaron, and I forget who the other person was, they held his arms up, they supported him, and the Israelites won. Okay, we need other people to support us, be true friends in hard times. And here's the third one. The solution begins with addressing what is broken inside of you. In Daniel verse 19 here it says, during the night the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells in him. Thank you, and I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what was asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. You see, he needed to figure out what was wrong. He needed to figure out what the dream was. And God showed him what that was. And in our case, it's often not that, but it's an issue of something that we have to change inside of ourselves. You see, depression is bad, but it can reveal, it can show us pride issues. It can show us selfishness issues. It can show us trying to please man, where we're finding our value in man. Perry Noble, when he gives this sermon, he talks about that, about how he realized he was just trying to please other people all the time. He wasn't finding his value in Christ, but he was trying to please other people all the time. And God used this depression to show him that and make him a better pastor. And so if we let God, he will bring to light these issues inside of us. He will show us these things. Just like Daniel had to be shown the vision, he had to be shown the dream and the interpretation. God will show us these issues or the things that we're dealing with when we're going through these times. And the question isn't about what everybody else can change, but it's about what we can change, what needs to change inside of us. Many of you have never been depressed, and that's fine. I have never personally been through a clinical depression either, thank God. But even so, there are times when I just get down. It's not like, you know, I'm not depressed, but there are times when I just feel funky. You know what I'm talking about? Those days when you're just like, I don't know what it is, but something's not right. And these same things at that point, it's like, okay, God, where am I at? What is it inside of me that's wrong? What attitude do I have that's wrong that I need to change? I'm going to pray real quick, and I just want you guys to, I know this seems like it's not relevant to us in a lot of ways, but I want you guys to even now begin asking God if there's something inside of you that you need to change. If there's an attitude inside of you that needs to change, whether it be selfishness, whether it be trying to please other people, whatever it may be, maybe it's a pride issue. But I want you to seek God's face right now. We're just gonna pray. There's not gonna be any music. I'm just gonna pray over you guys, and I encourage you to ask God these questions. They're hard questions to ask, but just ask for him to reveal something in you that needs to change. None of us is perfect, and we can all continue to grow. So Heavenly Father, God, right now I come to you, Lord, grateful for bringing us here tonight, Lord, and grateful for the blessings that you give us each day. God, I ask right now, Lord, that, God, if there's anything inside of us that we need to change, like the scripture says, if there be any wicked way in me, Lord, show it to me so that I can change it with your grace and with your power. God, I pray that we would not be so blind, and we would not be so prideful, and we would not be so stubborn as to think that there's nothing that we can change, Lord. But I pray that you would continue to grow us and make us more mature in you. I pray that you would continue to bring us closer to you, like we sang, Lord. Lead us to your cross. Bring us into you tonight, Heavenly Father. God, show us the things inside of us that need to change. Reveal in us the issues so that we can be better representatives of you and better reflections of your glory, Heavenly Father. God, I thank you that even through this series, Lord, you've continued to show me things and you've continued to reveal things to me, God. And I pray that you would continue to do that as we move on. And Lord, as we go to school and do what it is we do, Lord, that you would let us continue to change for the better and be better representatives of you to those around us, God. We praise you. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.